normal sequence of Sundays is interrupted this weekend with the feast day of All Saints today. This day bears the hallmark of a universal celebration and a stark realization. First, it is the day when we rejoice with all those who have entered heaven. It is the universal birthday of every saint. It's a universal feast of all the saints in heaven. The canonized saints are those who are listed or enlisted on the church's calendar as the holy ones in heaven. For the word saint means holy one. Apart from the official list of canonized saints, and that's what the canon means in Greek, a list, which numbers into the thousands of martyrs, virgins, doctors, monks, apostles, nuns, and parents, there are also a vast multitude of persons unknown to us who dwell in the presence of God. The first reading implies that after providing us with the symbolic number of 144,000 based on the 12 tribes of Israel, which the Jehovah Witnesses bring up, it then talks about a vast multitude impossible to count in front of the Lamb, and the Lamb of God is Christ. The Church in this month of November reminds us to ponder often the mystery of the communion of saints, which we'll say later in the Creed. The communion of saints, what does it mean? The word communion means union with. We are all united with those in heaven, if not in body, at least in spirit, in particular today. How are we united? Well, the saints are where we hope one day to be. For the Church is a saint-making institution. We, every baptized person, is a saint in making along the way. The process has begun. The communion of saints is the bond that unites all members of the Church in the body of Christ. The Church is Christ's mystical body. And every body, every physical substance that exists in reality has three dimensions. The world in which our young people live is a two-dimensional world, a virtual world of iPads, smartphones, TV screens. That's not the real world. That only has two dimensions. Actual reality always has three. And there's every body in the world. The real world has three dimensions of height, width, and depth. So too does the Church, Christ's body. They are the three dimensions of or states called earth, purgatory, and heaven. We are the pilgrims on earth, the holy souls are in purgatory, and the citizens of heaven are called saints. The interaction and vitality that exist in the 3D imagery of the Church is what we mean and what we profess in the communion of saints. Note the second reading's reference to membership in the Church, which occurs at baptism, when we are born anew, as children, adopted children of God, then destined for heaven as our home, the kingdom awaiting us. Heaven is not reserved for the pious religious or holy monks only. Every baptized person is a pilgrim on the way. They have their ticket. The Second Vatican Council taught over 50 years ago in its document, its constitution called Lumen Gentium on the Church, that every person is called to holiness, the universal call to holiness. Every person God has willed from the beginning of time to be a saint. He has welcomed them into his Church and he gives them the opportunity to strive towards holiness. And therefore, to become a saint is not an option, but an obligation. For though someone is baptized and therefore destined for heaven, one's sacramental baptism doesn't guarantee one's arrival. Any more than holding a ticket in your hand here guarantees you will arrive in London or New York. Heaven is the goal, the destination awaiting all Christians who are faithful to their vocation and seek to live a holy life. On this day, the 1st of November, we ask in prayer at this Mass that the saints in heaven may inspire, guide, and intercede for us. At a sporting event, a football match, a rugby match, such as last night, note the supporters, how they encourage and spur on their players that they may be winners. In a spiritual manner, we are seeking the encouragement and enthusiasm of the saints in the same manner that we persevere and attain heaven. If one has lost the enthusiasm to strive for heaven, then one's salvation might be in jeopardy. Why? Because hope is the key that unlocks the door of desire for heaven. And when one loses that, they lose their want to strive for perfect happiness. And heaven is utmost happiness, gorgeous beauty, inspirational truths, and everlasting joy. This hope or spiritual desire is fostered by faith. What we believe about heaven is a key factor in our desire for heaven. Sadly, people's perception of heaven is tainted with the media's presentation that heaven is boring cherubs sitting on cotton clouds with harps or violins. How boring. I mean, that's fine for a few minutes, but after all. In addition, the same media sources present hell as a great party time, complete with wild friends and pure indulgence. In both cases, the actual reality presented of heaven and hell in Scripture, in the words of Jesus Christ, are vastly different. So that we are not confused about the nature of heaven, the Church provides us today with the Gospel of the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. These eight statements are paradoxical and utterly opposed to human expectations or worldly ambitions. And their blessings, the translation that says happy, I think misses the point. The Greek is makarios, which means a divine blessing given by God to us for eternity. Happy is that word that we invoke on birthdays or McDonald's. It misses the mark. So these are blessings or rewards that God grants to prescribe modes of living, such as being merciful, being gentle, being a peacemaker. And the reward for most of these comes not now, but in the life hereafter. Our focus thus is not for rewards here, but there. Not to seek satisfaction or fulfillment in this world, but in the next. In the words of St. Paul, we must first run the race. Only afterwards do we win our trophy, our crown of everlasting glory. One saint whose day is this week, feast day that is, was St. Martin de Porres. He has the word saint before his name, something that we should have the same ambition for. Why does he have saint before his name? Because while on earth, he sought God's will instead of his own. He died in Lima, Peru in 1639 on the 3rd of November. His spiritual birthday into eternal life is now his feast day. He was a half-caste and therefore isolated from society, unwanted. He became a Dominican religious brother, never worthy enough, he thought, to become a priest, and spent all his life doing simple work, caring for the poor and sick. The destitute, the unwanted, were his brothers and sisters in the Lord. He truly lived out the words, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the land." And I'm sure his reward in heaven is magnificent. The inheritance was there, not here. As we embark on this month of November, we also focus on another dimension of the Church, the faithful departed. The pilgrims who have died, whose souls have left their bodies, may not yet be holy enough for heaven, where God is perfection. In that case, the dead who are saved are in need of purification or purgation, which gives rise to the ancient doctrine of purgatory. Now, the word purgatory is not in the Bible, but nor is the word Trinity or incarnation. Many Christian dogmas, the words themselves are not there in the Bible. There's many things that the Bible did not teach. the notion of purgatory or praying for the dead the Bible did teach. Don't misunderstand, however, and think that heaven, hell, purgatory is a third place. It's not a third place after death. In fact, it's not a place at all. It is a state of existence for those on their way to heaven. Think of it as a transit zone of suffering before the sanctity of glory. Every soul in purgatory suffers. They cannot help but suffer. We, however, can help them by our prayers and masses, especially tomorrow on Monday, or Souls Day, and throughout the month of November. By attending Mass tomorrow, and there are 8 of them in the parish, and praying for the dead, we greatly assist them in their flight. We can obtain a plenary indulgence for them, provided the 3 conditions are met. We pray for the Pope, our Father and Creed. We receive Holy Communion on the day, tomorrow, and we go to confession within the week of the sign. And then we do the stipulated works, which is come to Mass, or go to the cemetery and pray for the faithful departed. And remember, everyone that we pray for who's in purgatory one day will be in heaven. They are a saint in the making, and they will not forget our prayers and masses offered for them. As we do this out of love for them in this life, they will not forget us in the next, when we ourselves will have to enter that state of purification. Thus, as we have loved them alive, we do not forget them in death. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and the perpetual light shall upon them. May those souls of the faithful departed, and all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.